You are going to hear echoes in my talk from everything you've heard before. I'm like, did they look at my notes? This is really fun, because they didn't, and I didn't look at theirs, but, you know, that's the way the Lord works. So this little talk is called Growing in Everyday Thoughtfulness. And, oh, handouts. Liz, thank you. Growing in Everyday Thoughtfulness. That is the topic. Now, I am not an expert in this at all, but it has been so good for me to think about this topic and to feel a good bit of conviction. Let's begin with a definition of thoughtfulness. A simple definition, thoughtfulness, is showing kindness and consideration for the needs of others. So we see right away that thoughtfulness is outward focused, having a mind that is actively thinking about others. We need to recognize how often we are inwardly focused, just turned inward upon ourselves. We tend to think a lot about me, my desires, my needs, my feelings, my problems, my preferences, my to-do list, my challenges. If we are to grow in thoughtfulness, we need the Lord's help to turn away from our self-absorption and move toward thinking more about the needs of others. And he loves to help us do this. Think of that very familiar verse, Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. That's just this outward focus verse. Kind, tenderhearted, forgiving. We can think about the abundant kindness that God has shown us in Christ, providing forgiveness for our sins. And we can ask him to help us show kindness to others. We receive from him and then we bend it out toward others. We have been given so much. Let us seek to be women who are quick to show thoughtful kindness to others. Another helpful text is Galatians 5, 13 and 14. For you were called to freedom, brothers or sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Through love, serve one another. That sentence just gives us a great goal to aim at as we think about growing in everyday thoughtfulness. The freedom that we have in Christ should help us grow in self-forgetfulness and empower us to love and serve others. Now, there's so much that we could talk about since everyday thoughtfulness should happen every day. But I just chose three categories, three areas that we can think about together briefly. The first one is listening. Being kind and thoughtful toward others certainly involves listening to them. And here's a secret. We all need to be better listeners. The average person speaks between 100 and 150 words a minute. Not so much, Liz. But can think up to 600 words a minute. So there's a big difference between what you can say and what you can think. And so it's so easy to be distracted, to be thinking about what you're going to say next, right? To focus on other things. All of this, oh, I better not pick that up. I was going to pick up my phone. Okay, all of this has gotten us used to just, you know, quickly looking, that's not interesting, I don't want that, and just swiping away a little bit here, a little bit there, and we are losing our ability to think, to read, and to listen, because listening requires hard work and focus. It's hard work to listen well. Couple of verses. James 1:19, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. You've heard that saying about we have two ears and one mouth. We should listen more than we speak. Proverbs 18:13, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. And haven't we all been there when we have said something that revealed we weren't really listening? You do indeed feel like a fool. We all need to be better listeners. We need to think also about our nonverbal communication. What are you conveying by the way you are standing, by eye contact? It's important to give eye contact, not in a creepy way. You know, you don't want to just drill in. But if you never look at somebody in the eye, they don't feel listened to. And how about those situations where you're talking to somebody and they're looking at something behind you, you know, and you're kind of like, what's going on back there? You just feel very unlistened to. What a thoughtful gift it is to give your attention, your careful focus to someone, both their words and their heart, and to show your intention to truly understand. Don't we all want to be listened to like that? We need to grow in asking good questions. We need to learn to ask follow-up questions instead of immediately transitioning the conversation back to me. Asking questions is a skill that can be learned. Watch others who are good at it. One of my favorite childhood memories is every Sunday when we would have people over after church, and my mom would be at this end of the table serving up delicious food, and my dad would be at this end of the table serving up delicious conversation. It was so fun to watch him draw everybody out and make connections and help people see what they had in common. He was very good at asking good questions. Now, I read a few articles on listening well, and here are some things that I learned. One writer recommended using the phrase, tell me more. Tell me more. Isn't that a wonderful invitation? You say something, and the person, instead of jumping back to their stuff, says, tell me more. That's a huge gift. You can think of other open-ended questions like, well, tell me about, or what are your thoughts on? What's the most important thing? How do you feel about this? One writer recommended taking a sip of whatever you're drinking when the other person comes to the end of their sentence, showing you're not just going to jump right back in with your thoughts. You're giving them space to think and to say more. What a gift. Some of us need time to think, to process. We need that space. We need to give each other that space. The thoughtful person might ask the question, is this a good time? How often have you been interrupted in doing something by someone who launches into a long, involved story? So much stress could be reduced by courteously inquiring, is this a good time? It's a simple way to show respect for another person's time and schedule. We need to learn to weep and to rejoice. It's a challenging aspect of listening thoughtfully. Sometimes it is easier to weep with those who are weeping. We tend to be compassionate as women. We feel what they're feeling. We weep. It can be more difficult to rejoice with those who are rejoicing, especially if they are rejoicing over something that God has given them that he has chosen not to give to us. Those are hard situations. And I've talked to women who long to be married, and they're hearing yet another friend got engaged, or a married woman who has had a miscarriage and is grieving and gets a baby shower invitation. Those are really, really difficult times. But here's the thing. Do we believe that God is sovereign over every detail of my life and your life? And can I rejoice when God blesses you in a way that he has chosen not to bless me? I can if I'm trusting God's wisdom and his love and his sovereignty in your life as well as in mine. One writer says, don't assume your godliness because you sympathize with a friend in distress. Try rejoicing in his success. This is what God calls us to, rejoice with those who rejoice. We need to be aware of common temptations, ways in which we are tempted to be less than thoughtful. Again, be careful about shifting the conversation back to yourself. We hear someone say something, and it reminds us of something that we have thought or done or experienced, and we jump in with, oh, that reminds me of, and it's so easy to do this, and it kind of becomes a, can you top this? You know, my story's funnier, or my experience was more vivid, whatever it is. We must be careful about always bringing it back to me. Be careful about side conversations when you're in a group setting like this. At the least, it's distracting to those around you and perhaps to the speaker. It's disrespectful of the speaker's preparation and delivery. Learn to guard your mouth. Part of listening thoughtfully involves learning to be discreet. You rarely regret things that you did not say, but often regret things that you did say. Let people share their own news. That's just part of letting of celebrating with others, rejoicing with them. Let them share their news. Give everyone a chance to talk. Sometimes we just need to do the math. If there are four women out for a cup of coffee for an hour and one woman talks for 50 minutes of that, that's a problem. You know, unless she's in a crisis and you're trying to help her. But in general, be aware. Oh, how many women are there? Maybe somebody else has something to say. Give others the opportunity to speak. The thoughtful person cares to learn about other people and not pridefully dominate a conversation. This is a little bit off topic, but it is an important part of being thoughtful. Welcome other women. Include new friends. Look for the person who is sitting alone and go sit by them. Include others into your conversation. It's so difficult on Sundays after church when you see some people talking and other people kind of standing there just longing to be included. So let's have eyes to see and include and draw people in. One last area of listening well, be careful about being easily offended. I fear that many of us are too easily offended. That makes us quick to turn in on ourselves rather than listening to the other person. Someone may be saying something difficult to hear. They may be confronting us. Let's be willing to hear that. Avoid being just dismissive, like, oh, she doesn't know what she's talking about, or defensive, I would never do that. Seek to be discerning. Look for the truth in what the person is saying. Recognize we need each other's help. I appreciate this quote from Spurgeon. People who are very happy, especially those who are happy in the Lord, are not apt either to give or to take offense. Isn't that gloriously true? And isn't that the kind of women that we want to be? We all need to be better, more thoughtful listeners. That was the longest point. We'll move more quickly through number two and number three. The second area for growing in thoughtfulness is remembering. This is closely related to thoughtful listening. If you are listening carefully, others may share important information with you. They may share burdens that need prayer. They may share details of upcoming challenges. How thoughtful it is for us to hear and then remember those things. Our phones are a powerful tool for distraction, but they're also a powerful tool that we can use for remembering things. After listening to somebody, jot down some things on your phone. Take notes of what you learned, what's going on in her life, some details, some things you want to remember to pray for. It's just an easy way to keep track and that you can refer to that again. Make a note of an upcoming challenge, a hard conversation, a doctor's appointment. Send a text, a verse, a prayer on that day. It matters to all of us to be listened to and then to be remembered. When I get home from meeting with someone, I will frequently update my prayer list and just make notes of things that I want to be praying for that woman. If there's a time-related request, there's a doctor's appointment next Tuesday, I will write that in my planner in green. For some reason, that's my color for prayer. And then I remember on Tuesday to pray for that doctor's appointment, to pray for her. Write her in the morning, send a prayer, check up with her. You might wait till the next Sunday. I just know of very few things that are as encouraging to me as to be listened to, maybe one Sunday, sharing a burden, having that person let me know during the week that they're praying for me, and then having her come back the next Sunday and say, how did that go? What's happening? I'm praying for you. That is precious. That is such sweet ministry. It matters so much. Never underestimate the encouragement of a quick text. It means so much that someone listened and remembered and prayed. And it just takes a little bit more effort to send a handwritten note. So rare and so thoughtful. Make a note of dates that are important to someone. For instance, when a friend loses a loved one, write them a year later. My sister Judy lost her son when he was 23 years old in a car accident many years ago. I write her each day, each year on that date. I want her to know I remember him, and I try to share a unique memory, something else that I thought about James. Just, I care, I remember. When you're talking with someone and a need arises, stop right then if you can and pray. It's so easy to say, oh, I'll pray for you, and you walk away and forget. But if you stop and pray, you'll be more likely to remember and pray again. And then come back and ask for an update. So as you think about thoughtful remembering, let me encourage you, have a system in place for keeping track of things that people say to you. Look regularly at your system and follow up, and then pray with and for others and ask for updates. This is everyday thoughtfulness that we need to be involved in each other's lives. A third category for growing in thoughtfulness is serving. Remember our Galatians text, through love, serve one another. Another helpful verse is Galatians 6:10. So then as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. There are more good deeds than we can do, but don't let them paralyze you. Ask the Lord to guide you to the acts of service that he wants you to do. Consider the needs of others and seek to meet them. Now, there are many kinds of situations. Let me mention just a few general principles. Number one, offer help wisely and sensitively. If you can, avoid saying, "Let me know if I could help." That puts the burden on the other person to figure that out. They may be in a situation where they can't even think about that. Think about a specific thing that you can offer and offer that. Something like, "May I bring dinner to you on Monday night? Could I come over tomorrow and do your laundry? Could I arrange airport pickups for the people flying in for the funeral?" Something specific. Offer that to the person, but offer it carefully. You have to kind of know when to push a little bit and when to let go. It's up to them what they are comfortable with. Some people are more private. The things that you offer might not really be welcome. So offer generously and open, wholeheartedly, but open-handedly. It's up to them. My daughter Bethany had an experience years ago along this line, so we refer to this often. She had a new baby, and her husband had torn his Achilles tendon, had surgery, so a lot going on, and a friend offered to bring dinner. Bethany didn't need dinner, and she tried really hard to say, "No, thank you," but the friend insisted. The friend came over, brought dinner, stayed for a long time. The snow was just mounting up outside. This was in Chicago. By the time the friend left, she backed out of the driveway, got stuck in the snow, and Owen had to go out on his crutches and lay down in the driveway to dig out the, just a mess. And Bethany's like, "If she would just have listened to me and not brought dinner." So it's a classic example of listen, offer, but don't push. A second principle is be mindful about food. If most, in not all situations, food can be helpful. When you are providing food to meet a need, find out ahead of time if there are any food allergies or issues. If the people that you are trying to serve are in a hospital or another setting, find out if they have a place to eat or if there's a refrigerator available. Choose food that is easy to eat. If you can, deliver it in disposable containers so they aren't left with the burden of returning your dishes. Seek to learn if the person or the family would like you to stay and visit, or just leave the meal on the porch. Some people prefer that. We're all different, and we want to serve in ways that can be received well. A third thought, be careful with errand running. Errands are a fact of everyday life. Think about ways that you can serve others as you do your errands. Text a neighbor, a friend, a new mom, a shut-in, and ask if you can pick something up for them. Wherever you are going, it doesn't take much time or effort. It just takes intentional thought. And then a fourth thing I want to mention is sometimes the best way we can serve is to practice the ministry of presence, just being there. Many of us women tend to be doers. We like to do things, get them done. But sometimes the most thoughtful way to serve another person is with our presence. When someone is grieving a deep loss, the death of a spouse, the loss of a child in miscarriage, the grim reality of a serious medical diagnosis, their immediate need might be someone sitting with them, crying with them, praying with them, willing to listen if and when they are willing to talk. When others are weeping or grieving or overcome, sometimes the best way to encourage them is just to be there and be quiet. So as we seek to grow in everyday thoughtfulness, let's seek to be sensitive to the Spirit's leading. Let's seek to emulate Christ in the ways that he served so many, listening so well, asking wise questions, seeking to understand, feeding, loving, aware of the true need of the moment. And I hope these thoughts have encouraged you to just think about ways that you and I can grow in everyday thoughtfulness. May the Lord help us to be more focused listeners, more intentional rememberers, and generous servants of others as we reflect His kindness in practical ways. Thank you.